The first of which reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 41. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. The second scripture reading is also from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. This is the word of the Lord.
So this week is the last week in a 4-part sermon series that we've called Big Lessons from Bible Brothers. And we're looking at the stories of these biblical brothers in order to learn more about having our own godly relationships. And this week we're looking at the story of Andrew and his brother Peter. Now Peter's the more famous of the two. Poor Andrew. Whenever he's mentioned, he's described as Andrew, brother of Simon. Or Andrew, the brother of Peter, as if he has no identity of his own. We know Peter very well. We know Peter as Jesus' right-hand man. Peter's the rock on whom Jesus built his church. We know Peter as the hothead. He's the one who drew his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested. We also know him as the one who denied Jesus 3 times. Peter gets a lot of press in the Gospels. Andrew, not so much. However, we can learn some very important lessons from Andrew and his relationship with his brother Peter. Peter may have been the closest of the disciples to Jesus, but it was his brother Andrew who met Jesus first. You see, as we heard a moment ago, Andrew was already a disciple of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. And as soon as he heard John the Baptist proclaim that Jesus was the Lamb of God, Andrew went off to find his brother Simon Peter to tell him. When he found his brother, he told him he had found the Messiah. Andrew believed Jesus to be the Messiah immediately, and he couldn't wait to find his brother to tell him. This actually makes Andrew the first person to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. But what I would like you to pay attention to is that as soon as Andrew meets Jesus, and he has this belief of Jesus as the Messiah, he immediately has to share this incredible news with his brother. And that's human nature, isn't it? When you have great news or something incredible has happened, isn't it your inclination to run and share it with as many people as possible? It's sort of like this.
I told 2 friends about Fabergé organic shampoo with pure wheat germ oil and honey, and they told 2 friends, and so on.
Hey, that's not Fabergé organic shampoo.
It isn't? It's an imitator. They're not all the same. So be sure it's Fabergé.
For super body, super shine, and super fresh smelling hair, get the one and only Fabergé organic shampoo.
You'll tell 2 friends, and they'll tell 2 friends, now you got it, and so on, and so on, and so on.
Fabergé Organic Shampoo and Conditioner with pure wheat germ oil and honey.
I don't know about you, but I remember buying that shampoo in 1980 based on that commercial, and I probably sold a few products. But I digress. Andrew knew immediately that Jesus was the Messiah, the Messiah the Jews have been waiting for hundreds of years. This is incredible news. Hundreds of years they've been waiting, and now the Messiah is finally here. He shared the gift of that great news with Peter, and what came out of that? Sure, Peter had some rough edges, but nobody's perfect. Yet Jesus took that rough, hot-tempered man and built his church on that foundation. What if Andrew had kept Jesus to himself? We, just like Andrew, know the good news of Jesus Christ. We know Jesus is the Messiah. We know that Jesus is our Savior and what that means for our lives. Doesn't that knowledge excite you? Doesn't that knowledge propel you, motivate you? Doesn't that knowledge bring you great peace and great joy? And if you answered yes to any of those questions, then I have one more question for you. Well, really two, because it's a two-part. Are you sharing the gift you were given in the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone you meet? And if not, why? Now remember, I'm not talking about standing in front of the church hawking Jesus. I'm not talking about standing on Main Street handing out tracts. I'm talking about living your life every single day like you know the incredible gift you have in the Savior Jesus. I'm talking about being a living, breathing, walking, talking sermon just by the way you live your life. Because that's how you're going to access as many people as possible. Now sometimes God will put people in your life specifically to share your story with them, much like Andrew shared with Peter. And you all have a God story. It would be impossible for you not to. You all have a story about something God has done in your life. Maybe God got you through a financial crisis. Maybe God got you through an illness. Maybe God got you through a messy relationship. Maybe God is getting you through something like that right now. Whatever has happened in your life, God has been active in it. So you have a story to tell. And you don't have to look or plan for the moments of sharing. You don't have to put it in your Google Calendar. You don't have to put it in your day timer. You don't have to stalk Susie at the coffee machine. Because if God puts that person in your path, you'll get that sense that it's time to speak and tell your story. But other times, it's just about how you live your life. So are you snippy to the cashier at ShopRite when she misses that coupon? Are you cutting people off on Route 80? Do you have an elderly parent or other relative that maybe you haven't spoken to or seen in a while? Are you so busy earning money that your family forgot what you look like and thank heavens for that portrait over the fireplace? What are your priorities? How are you living your life? How are you sharing the gift of Jesus with the world? Andrew's mentioned two other times in the Gospel of John, and both of those times he's bringing people to Jesus. We just heard in the second text in the feeding of the 5,000 that it's Andrew who knows the boy that has the bread and the fish, and Andrew connects that boy with Jesus. In John 12:20-22, there are some Greeks who want to meet Jesus, and Andrew makes that connection happen. He's happy to share Jesus with others. Now, Andrew doesn't get as much airtime as his brother, but Andrew's purpose is to bring people to Jesus. Andrew knows this is his purpose, and he's motivated by it. That's our purpose, too. You know, new converts are always the most enthusiastic. Have you noticed that? Folks who have grown up in a religious tradition, they may lose their zeal, but a newcomer, someone who's just converted to a tradition that they've chosen, they're on fire. And after all, they've had some sort of experience that led them to that conversion, so they're excited about that transformation that God has done. They want to tell the whole world about it. Think about it, when you start a new hobby or you learn something new, how excited are you? You want to do it all the time. It consumes you. Or when you first fell in love, you just wanted to be with that person all the time. Those exciting times. And we need to have excitement to share the gift of Jesus. because really there is no gift that's greater than that. And if we're not as excited as we once were, then maybe it's because we're just not as in touch with Jesus as we need to be. Because when you immerse yourself in Jesus, knowing all you can about him, that makes you excited. And then our excitement is fed by talking about the gospel, taking that gospel out to the world. The more we share Jesus, the more excited you become, because people you share Jesus with are going to become excited. And excitement breeds excitement. It makes sense, doesn't it? So remember, you tell a friend, and they'll tell a friend, and so on, and so on. So sharing the gift of Jesus is an important part of our purpose. But there are other gifts that we need to share that are part of our purpose as well. As I shared with the children, each of us has been given gifts. Not a single person is without gifts. Did you hear that? Not a single person is without these gifts. We all have them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about a variety of gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. And in the same chapter, he talks about those of us who follow Jesus as the body of Christ. And Paul says this: "Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot would say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. We all have gifts, and we're not all given the same gifts. We have different gifts because we're called to have a different role in God's purpose. But we all do have a role. And it's very important for you to understand that. The question then becomes, are you using your gifts? Are you sharing your gifts with others towards God's purpose? And if the answer is no, then you know the second part is why. Are you clear as to what your gifts are? Then perhaps you want to join me in October when we do the spiritual gifts inventory to help discern what your spiritual gifts are. And I'm not apologizing for that shameless plug. We spend 2 hours taking an inventory and then discerning what that means and what our gifts are. And then that helps you connect to places where you can serve God and further his purpose. Why else might you not be sharing your gifts with others? Do you think your gifts aren't good enough? There's no such thing as good enough. These gifts came from God, and God is always enough. God is more than enough. So any gift that you have is sufficient. Are you too busy? Well, we already talked about that under the picture on the mantle. I would encourage you to reflect on that. We're all busy. I'm busy, you're busy, right? Our blue calendar runs over. But we know how to make time for the things that are important to us, don't we? If you want to buy a new pair of shoes, you find time to go buy that new pair of shoes, right? If a friend calls you for coffee because they're not feeling so well, what do you say? Are you too busy? We find that time for the things that matter and the things that are important to us. So what are your priorities? You see, to not use your gifts, or to think you don't have them, or to think they're not good enough, that's an offense to God. Because God gave you those gifts. And we're all children of God, and God has no favorites. I don't know about your personal families. I mean, we're not supposed to have favorites, right? I only have one kid, it's easy. But if you have multiple children, you're not supposed to have favorites, right? And that's hard, right? That's hard. I can tell you my family who the favorite is. But anyway, God doesn't have favorites. God is very intentional in giving each of us gifts that can be used to bring about God's kingdom. And why wouldn't he? Isn't that logical? If God wants his kingdom to happen, and he wants us to make it happen, he's got to give us the tools we need to do that, right? It's just logical. So in other words, there really are no excuses to not share your gifts. No excuses. Sorry. No excuses. Let me ask you, do you get gifts from people and then not give them to them? Okay, my spirit, my love language, one of the five, you all seen that book, Five Love Languages, okay, there's five things. One of them is gifts, and much to Robert's chagrin, my love language is gifts. I love to give gifts. His checkbook doesn't like it so much, but I really enjoy it. Okay. So, but I don't get those gifts and keep them. If I want to do that, I buy one for me and one for the other person. We give gifts to give them away. Okay? They're meant to be shared. And the gifts that we've been given from God are meant to be shared with as many people as possible. And don't get hung up on the results. You just do your part. Just do your part. Whatever your role is in the body, you do that. Don't worry about the other roles, because other people have that taken care of. Don't worry about the ultimate outcome, because God has that taken care of. Share your gifts. The gift of your Savior Jesus, and the unique gifts that were given to you by God to bring about the kingdom. Don't keep them to yourself. Gifts are meant to be given away. And my prayer is you will either continue or perhaps start today to share with others those incredible gifts. Tell a friend, they'll tell a friend, and so on and so on. Amen. I'm going to lead you now into a brief moment of silence so that you can lift up to God all those things that are weighing on your heart. And then I'll give words to our prayer together. So please take a deep breath and let us pray. Gracious God, you have enriched and enlightened us by the revelation of your eternal Christ. Comfort us in our mortality and strengthen us to walk the path of your desire, so that by word and deed we may manifest the gracious news of your faithfulness and love. Holy God, Father of Christ, who asked the disciples, "What are you looking for?" and who offered the invitation to come and see, open our hearts to what you reveal and give us the courage to follow. By your Spirit, aid us in our journey, so that like John, our words and deeds point to the Lamb of God, so that like Andrew, we share the gift of the joy of our Savior Jesus Christ. For those who are suffering, let us point to Christ through comfort. For those who are hungry, let us point to Christ through bread. For those in the grip of despair, let us point to Christ through hope. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And we lift up our voices now as one, in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,